What has this experience been like being at the Charlie Kirk Memorial yesterday and the lead up? But what was that experience like yesterday?
You know, when I flew down to Arizona, I didn't know what to expect. At first, when I was invited to come down to Arizona, I thought it was some big mass email to thousands of pastors all over America, and I was like, "Is this a joke? Are you sending this to lots of people?" And Kayla Cross, the regional director, said, "No, you're one of very few. In fact, we've only invited 200 pastors to sit right up front." And so I was like, okay. Well, I said, I don't know. I'm busy. I wasn't sure. So I kind of put it off. I mentioned it to my board that night. And one of the gals on my board the next day called me and said, "Pastor Sean, I couldn't sleep all night long. You better call her and see." And I said, "Well, they gave my position away hours ago. There's thousands of people who'd love to jump in there." And she said, "Well, just call and find out. Lay it out as a fleece. If God wants you in Arizona, He'll get you there. She'll find a way." So I said, "Well, I'll ask her, but I'm busy. I don't know why I would, but anyway, I'll ask her." So I sent a thing to Kayla at Cross, and I said, "Kayla, if God wants me to be there, I'm willing to go. I will go if a spot opens up." 3 minutes later, she sent me a thing saying, "A spot opened up. Get your tickets. You're coming to Arizona." So I got my tickets, got on the airplane in Fargo, got out to the tarmac, and they said, "Sorry, folks, airplanes broke down. You're not going anywhere." So we come back. I sit there for 2, 3 hours. I thought, well, maybe it wasn't meant to be. Maybe God just doesn't want me to be down in Arizona. To which some guy comes walking by me who was walking kind of fast, a young man. I'm like, "Excuse me, did you just kind of re-up your plane ticket to another airline?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Would you show me how to do that?" So he and I were the only two out of that big group that got on to American Airlines. I flew to Dallas. From Dallas, I flew to Phoenix, and I was here, and got up early the next morning. Some people were there all night long. And I got up the next morning about 5, and drove close to the facility. We're about a mile away. And I got out and actually walked along the interstate and up to the place because there are hundreds of people walking right along the road. So I told my driver, I said, "I'm just going to get out and walk." And I had to be there by 8 o'clock. I got there with plenty of time to spare. And I had a VIP pass because I was right on the floor up front. And I went around to gate 3, which was the gate where all of the VIPs went through. The other people, I mean, there's 60, close to 70,000 seats in this, but I think it's 64, 65,000 people. They had to go through the front doors. And I'm going to say, along with the big building across the street, I think it's a basketball coliseum or something, another big building. Together, there was 100,000 people there. I'm guessing they turned away as many people as were there. There were people that camped out in front of the building all night long. The experience just walking into it, overwhelming, and greatly honored that I could have the opportunity and the blessing to come down as a representative of North Dakota, of our church, and just to say, I'm here to thank God for a man that was used to literally change the course of many things that were going wrong. He was able to move the dial to cause things to go in a right way. And Charlie Kirk's life was really honored in a wonderful way. It was an all-day worship service. Never been to a funeral that long before or big, but it was incredible.
What was the atmosphere like when you were in the building and everyone was seated? I mean, watching it yesterday, it seemed to me that, there were the solemn times, Erica Kirk speaks, and then there was the raucous times when it really felt like a revival. And I think President Trump and a lot of those other speakers likened
Sure.
that event to it. What were
Yeah.
you feeling inside?
I couldn't help but wondering, because Trump is sitting there for a number of hours hearing the gospel boldly proclaimed. And, were there some political things talked about? Yes, and I expected it. But for the most part, the music was godly. It was Christian. It spoke to my heart. The spirit on the floor, the spirit in that place. There were times where I would be sitting there and I'd start sensing something, and the spirit of God would drop down upon me and this entire crowd. And I'd look around, there'd be people crying. For example, when Erica Kirk, when she made that comment, "And I forgive him," I just heard people sobbing around me. There were times with the Christian music that was being played. I'll never forget. I think it was Phil Wickham or one of the Christian artists got up after we'd been in worship for about an hour, and I had tears flowing down my face because the spirit in that place was so palpable, so beautiful, so righteous, so godly. It made you want to be a man of God if you're a man. It made you want to be a woman of God if you're a woman. It made you so grateful to be in this nation and to be part of the greatest nation that's ever existed on planet Earth. And it gave us a desire to do what God's called us all to do, to be true to our faith and to love our neighbor and to do the right thing. One of the things that I so loved was they talked about how Charlie Kirk would always tell young people on campus, and they'd say, "What would you recommend us to do?" And Charlie Kirk would say, "If you're young and you're in love, get married and be honorable, be godly, be decent, love your wife, and build up your home in the way that godly men build up their home and the way godly men love their wives, and then build up your church, and then build up your community, and then build up your state, and then be a part of building up your nation, and curve towards the things that are right and good and godly and decent." And you know, one of the things I couldn't help but wondering is when Reverend McCoy, which they said this was Charlie's pastor, when Reverend McCoy stepped out and started speaking, he said, "Let's talk about the why." And I was like, "Whoa, what's he going to talk about?" And he started talking about the character of Charlie. He said, "Everyone today is going to talk about the great character of Charlie Kirk. But," he said, "I want to talk about the why. Why was it that he had such great character?" And went on to say it was because Charlie Kirk had surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a follower of the Lord. He wanted people to be faithful and honest and true to the virtues of what makes our nation so great. Charlie Kirk was well studied. He knew our founding fathers. He knew all of the great, Plato and all of the great books of old. Plus, he studied other books on socialism, books on everything you could imagine that would creep in and cause our country to tip over. He wanted to turn that, curve it around, and get it back to a solid, decent place. I even talked about with I had a news I had an interview with Newsmax today, and I talked about how it was obvious that there were people that weren't Christian. There were a Hindu. I talked to a Hindu. There were agnostics and atheists and different people. What drew them to this? Well, I hope that they were touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the thing that drew them there was the fact that this man loved people. He loved his neighbor. He loved them. They knew him and he loved them. Isn't that what we're called to be as Christians? Doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever denomination, Nazarene, any denomination that calls themselves Christians knows that we are called to love one another. That was the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God and love one another. Love thy neighbor. And this is a major theme that came across all day long. Hey, get married, be honest, love thy neighbor, be true, be honest. Charlie Kirk, one of the speakers talked about this, and I'm sure you heard it, but it blessed me when he said, Charlie Kirk's the only guy that instead of getting mad at the people that were against him, that opposed him, and opposed his Christian faith and his ideas and his virtues, he's the only guy that would run to the debate, run to the place that was dangerous, that people were threatening his life, set up a little tent, get a microphone out, and Charlie Kirk would say, "Let's just talk." He was not aggressive. He was not hateful. He's not angry. He was not mean-spirited. This was a man that longed to just to love thy neighbor and to have an intelligent discussion and to ask, what would be the godly virtues that would cause us to do the right things? And this is why he left an indelible mark. This is why he had 100,000 people at his funeral. funeral. This is why you had people, delegates, and people from all over the world. All over the world. I had people from the Congo sitting in front of me, a delegation of people from their government. I mean, there were people from all over the world that were giving their condolences to Erica. And was there a revival spirit there? At times there was. Did it sometimes it feel like a political thing? It did, but I come as a called ordained minister of the gospel, and my job is to lift up Jesus. And we have people in our church, they lean left, they lean right. And I tell people, vote your conscience, vote the word of God, allow Christ to lead you in the voting booth so that you would be voting as the word of God would call us to vote. I never ask for permission or make excuses for standing on life. God created life in the womb. And so we are strong pro-life. We love life. And we don't want to see children destroyed in the womb, and marriage. We love marriage. We're strong with the word of God in marriage. We would stand it and preach. And so these are the things that was coming across yesterday. It would come across any church that would just stand on the word of God as inerrant and infallible, which 100 years ago most churches did. Today there's a lot of churches saying, well, we don't quite believe this or believe that. Well, this is why a lot of churches are shrinking and dying, because you quit preaching the word, your sheep start dying and looking for hope, looking for the word, and they start seeking out a church that's preaching the truth and the word. Why? Because we're all seeking something when we see things like a man getting shot. And I had people calling me, people crying, people seeking answers, and they're looking for churches that will stand on true virtue, the love of God, the cross of Christ, and to give them hope. And this is a time, pastors, every single pastor in America, you need to help people know, like Psalm 23 says, that Jesus is going to carry your broken parishioners, your community. He's going to carry us through these dark times, these hard times. He's going to help us to make it across these troubled waters. And Jesus will give your sheep everything they need to have hope that we are still living in the greatest nation that's ever been in mankind. And we, as men and women of God, we are at, no pun intended, if you call yourself a believer, we are at a turning point in our nation where we have to ask ourselves, now that Charlie Kirk is in heaven with the Lord, are we called to be a Charlie Kirk? Are we called to stand on truth? Of course we are, as we love our neighbor. But we speak truth, we speak encouraging words, and we help people to be in the freedom that only God can give through His word that lives in us, to our community, to our friends and our neighbors.
We're hearing a lot that there are churches in our area even that have seen an increase in people attending Sunday morning worship or worship whenever. Have you noticed that in your church since Charlie's shooting, passing, since his assassination? Have you noticed an increase in people coming to church?
I have, and I've had calls from people from Fargo that went to church the weekend that he was, the week he was assassinated. They went to church, and the pastor didn't mention a word about Charlie Kirk. They went on on the website that we have for our church. They went on the website. They listened to my message. Did I preach about it? Yeah, it's because people are thinking about it, and they need hope. They need encouragement. And I had people reaching out to me saying, thank you for your message. I cried all the way through it. I wish my pastor would have talked about it. I'm going to look for a church that's willing and bold enough to at least talk about some of the issues and the struggles that our nation's going through. And so, yeah, you can most definitely lose parishioners if you are not dealing with the problems of the time. And we have seen an increase, but that didn't just start with Charlie Kirk. That started many years ago, when we were going through some very dark times, when people were being swatted and arrested and attacked. It has been something that has been an ongoing issue.
And I
And
thought it was. Go ahead.
so it's been an ongoing issue, and we have seen an uptick in our church over the last 4 to 5 years, just for the record.
And I think it was very telling in watching the memorial yesterday when Pastor asked people to commit their life, and you had people standing up left and right
Hundreds, maybe thousands.
that are following in the steps of Charlie Kirk and really witnessing what Charlie brought to this country is something that everybody, wants to buy into, especially those young people.
100%. I agree. There's no doubt about it. The young people in America that had ears to hear and a heart to receive were so moved by Charlie Kirk. You know what? This guy, he thought he was going to shut Charlie Kirk down when he shot him. He unleashed an army of men and women of God that are 18, 19, 17 years old that long for truth. And they aren't going to stop now. They're going to read the books he read. They're going to stand up and speak at college campuses, at high school campuses, in elementary schools, junior high schools. They're going to say, "This isn't right. I don't like this. This is not biblical. And I'm going to stand firm on the word." And they're going to have intellectual conversations. These are students that are doing this. I couldn't believe when I was sitting down on the floor, I was 22 rows back from the front. I looked around and I said, "Here's the hope for America. I'm sitting around more people that are 10, 15, 20, 30 years younger than me that are my age." I was surrounded by young people, college age people. And of course, it was a beautiful picture of the future of America. We're in good hands. Charlie Kirk helped ignite a fire in these college students, and I believe that fire needs to be fanned. I believe preachers need to preach it, and the firewall, the front line, the thing that really keeps America in line and intact with the righteous moral values that our founding father stood on, is the church. And the real men of God have got to stand up and start preaching the word of God and quit worrying about offending someone. And there's an old one of my old mentors told me, "I've come to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted." And we need to preach long gospel and not be afraid of it and not be worried about what people are going to think. You must stay true to the word of God because we believe the word of God is inerrant and infallible. It's from God and perfect. And people need to hear the hope that only Christ can give. He won it for people. He died and rose again so that people that are suffering, people that are looking for hope in this dark time, when a true man of God, I believe, was martyred for his faith, they can find hope in their Savior and they can know that God's hand is still on the wheel. This country will correct itself and we will come out stronger. And pray for Erica, pray for those two little children. Pray that God would continue to lead TPUSA because it's a good organization and it's helped hundreds of churches, thousands of churches. It helped us, and it is a gift and a blessing.
Pastor Sean, thank you so much.
Amen.